Sermon number 2 of the 29, entitled The Word Distorted. And our theme then is how God's Word has been distorted in this wicked and perverse generation. And our text then is, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they would believe a lie. Out of 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11 and Isaiah 6 verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Martin Luther famously said as he rode fearlessly toward the Diet of Worms, the greatest crisis of his life and the greatest crisis of the Reformation, that even if there had been as many devils there as the shingles on the castle roof, he said, I will still go. He had a safe conduct pass from Charles V, but he knew 100 years earlier that John Huss also had such a same safe conduct pass before he was cruelly martyred. Yes, it was an extremely dangerous time, but Luther said, this is the Lord's work, not mine, and he is the life of the Reformation. As Luther emerged out of this intense battle of the war against the Reformation at the Diet of Worms, Luther correctly saw the real reason for his victory, and he said, I did nothing. The Word of God did everything. For approximately 450 years, Luther's great victory by the Word at Worms was prospered by God as never before across the world. How many across the world were spiritually awakened as Jesus, with the sword of his word proceeding from his mouth, rode his white horse of victory triumphantly through the wicked world, dead in sins and trespasses, conquering and to conquer. Who can comprehend this power of the word? For Jesus testifies of the unfathomable, that all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. Now, obviously, trusting in that word of power was the strength of the Reformation. That pure word went out, refined 7 times, as we see in Psalm 12, verse 6. It went out across the earth, purified 7 times at the times of fullness. Yes, for nearly 450 years, as long as the ministers of the Reformation churches, the ambassadors of God, kept their eye on the scriptural Christ and maintained the purity and the supremacy of God's word in the churches, the religious world never saw a greater blessing than that of the Reformation. The author of the Reformation went forth victoriously, conquering with his word country after country, people after people, land after land. However, tragically, in the last 50 to 100 years, a high percentage of ministers and church leaders whose churches have been fathered by and came about from the Reformation tragically have taken their eyes off the scriptural Christ, the scriptures, and tragically embraced many false doctrines, often 180 degrees different than that of scripture. And no wonder Satan, cunningly disguised as an angel of light, was able to deceive many and even make himself a leader in the Christian churches. Tragically, the inevitable result was that a wicked and a perverse generation flooded with counterfeit Christianity has arisen today. This is exactly why God has sent COVID-19, the COVID-19 judgment, specifically calling Christendom and the world to repentance. Do you hear his voice? In this sermon, we want to try to measure how deeply Christendom has fallen from the word, how deeply they have distorted it. Now, everyone who has been in the military knows any army can fight against an outside enemy in front of them much more successfully than against an enemy hidden within their ranks. Tragically, this is exactly what has happened in this wicked generation today. What an incredible and unmeasurable damage Satan has made to Christendom during the last generation. Yes, he made that from a leadership position hidden, cunningly hidden within the church. Who can fathom this paradox? For Christendom has suffered a tidal wave of Satan's counterfeit works, and the evil mushrooming from within their ranks has subtly come from the evil one, so cunningly disguised as an angel of light that he is able, even as Scripture says, to defeat and to make the elect sleep. God's ambassadors, drifting from orthodoxy more and more, falling away from Scripture and the reformational truth of sovereign grace, have caused this disaster we see today. Any honest evaluation and contrasting between the Christendom of the Reformation time and that of today, we can see the difference, and the chasm between these two is unfathomable, which we are trying to illustrate in these 29 sermons. Many try to excuse this by saying, it was a different time, we have to get with the times. But this is also an error out of hell, for God is immutable, and he will not, and he cannot change. By changing with the times and following Satan's deceit, Christendom naturally fell into the great and many errors surrounding a free will doctrine, which we see today, which then has mushroomed further into multiple global Christendom doctrinal disasters. These have presently come upon us. Christendom is in an existential crisis today. It is no secret. Anyone can see it. As these new, unscriptural, strange, man-made doctrines and inventions multiply and mushroom across the hundreds of thousands of churches and pulpits in the world, only greater spiritual error results, leading to the tidal wave of spiritual devastation, apoplectic crisis, which Christendom is deluged with today. This is not a secret. It has not been done in a corner, but it is a blatant, in-your-face change of fundamental scriptural doctrines, which our great fathers and all of our church forefathers for 6,000 years would faint in horror at, and they would thunder condemnation upon you and me. Yes, a kindergartner in theology can compare where church doctrine was 50 to 100 years ago and contrast it with today's church doctrine and our present doctrines, and see how radically the church and the doctrines have changed in the last 5 and 20 and 50 years. Yes, tragically, Amos's famine of the lack of the hearing of the Word of God, of the hearing of the full counsel of God, has severely plagued this generation. We can only look around. The Great Reformation, to a large extent, to a high percentage, has been lost and replaced with strange doctrines which are not according to Scripture, not according to our forefathers. Woe, woe, woe to us as individuals, as a church, as a state, as a nation, as a world. We must repent. COVID-19 is staring us in the face. God is looking for repentance. Today, each of us needs only look around and compare and contrast Christendom's doctrine with that of the Reformation. Let us look only how his word is assaulted today. Look especially at the millennial generation, which is the up-and-coming, the rising generation of what one day soon will dominate and be the sum and substance of the church in the next generation, if the Lord tarries and he permits. Just take a minute and study the national surveys describing and outlining the doctrinal beliefs of Christian millennialism today, and weep. The doctrinal errors embraced by millennials are horribly twisted from Scripture beyond words. By their specific and their often repeated words out of their own mouth, obviously, undeniably, an extremely high percentage of millennials, who, as we said, are the future church, are not only rejecting fundamental and foundational doctrines of Scripture, but are openly embracing obvious and evil doctrines which can only end in hell. What a time we live in. This incredible discrepancy and this unfathomable chasm is not only clear and startling, but it is profoundly evil and deep. One would have to be from a different planet to not be able to see this radical divide today from the Reformation times. Clearly, this generational heresy and that of the millennials calls for desperate and immediate correction and repentance, as Nineveh repented immediately upon hearing Jonah's word. All of our godly forefathers, all of our Reformed forefathers, all of our Puritan forefathers would stand at our doors, our church doors, and thunder condemnation upon a extremely high percentage of churches and leaders who have horribly perverted the orthodoxy of the Reformation in our day. Imagine that, comparing that contrast between the Reformation and today, what a thundering condemnation we would expect if Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, our Reformation fathers, could miraculously come to life today and stand at our doors. Infinitely more important is not Luther or those men, but the fact that the King of Kings does indeed live today. And yes, God is carefully watching today and is far more hyper-angry than human words can describe. Yes, he is thundering from heaven to his ambassadors, tell the people to repent, to turn around. Why will he die? Return to the Reformation doctrines. Why do the ambassadors of Christendom today not repeat this message? Think about it. The reason is frightening, far beyond measure frightening. In our first sermon in this series of 29 sermons, the first error of this generation of Christendom was accepting and embracing the doctrine of the free will of man, which naturally leads to even greater errors of the 29 that we are going to define. Yes, tragically today, Satan's gate of hell is rapidly advancing through the world, reaping a ripe harvest from a generation of counterfeit Christians who have turned Christian doctrine upside down. Their apostasy is claiming more and more victims, for hell is never full. We may fear that we are in the great falling away prophesied in Scripture for the last days. Never before has such a falling away from scriptural doctrines been seen in such a wholesale fashion. Satan's next target then, after so successfully winning the battle of insisting upon inserting the doctrine of the free will of man in most of the churches of Christianity, was upon his next target to attempt to distort Scripture itself, to distort the Word of God. Because the Word of God stood in the way of Satan's great assault, he needed to evermore cloud, confuse, manipulate, twist, and cast doubt upon God's Word itself. Thus, one of the most successful tools which Satan focused upon his assault upon was upon the Word of God, Scripture itself. Thus, in the second of the 29 great catastrophic errors seen in this wicked and perverse generation is Satan's relentless and sadly successful degrading of God's Word in so many ways. Today we will look and see how devastating his success was to confuse, twist, distort, and obstruct the truth in God's Word. Yes, we can look around everywhere and see what a high percentage of Christendom today believes doctrines which are the very opposite of what God taught us and the church in the Reformation concerning the Word of God. Remember, Luther said, "The Word has done it. I have done nothing." Imagine, so much so that if Luther could miraculously come alive today, he would stand at your and my church doors in utter horror and amazement and be thundering condemnation. He would see in thunder the obvious, that Christianity today, the Word of God, has been turned upside down by counterfeit Christendom itself. Sadly, from within the church. For 450 years after the Reformation, few even dared to openly confront God's word. It was sacred, untouchable. But in the last 50 years, counterfeit Christians have openly defied Scripture, and their open boldness and haughty arrogance knows no bounds. Nothing they will not change about the Word of God. Join me today and let us look at some of the many ways that counterfeit Christianity today has accepted and embraced fully the degrading of God's Word. Yes, clearly it is why God has sent this great judgment of COVID-19 today, to bring our world to its knees today. Our sins testify against us. He is calling to you and to me as sinners to repent immediately. Who can tell? He may yet avert this judgment and not send another. But no, God will not be mocked. Now, the Enlightenment of the 1800s was already one of Satan's early counterattacks against the Reformation. It was so successful that it spread the evil seeds of man's free will and human ability and capability across the world. These false doctrines of the Enlightenment have steadily mushroomed within the Reformational churches and expanded in so many disastrous directions. Today, Satan relentlessly attacks God's immutable word. And you know, to bring down a building, the foundation must be destroyed first. So the foundation of God's word is in Satan's crosshairs. Obviously, he cannot deny its truth. So he instead spread an abundance of lies about it, trying to cloud and hide its truth behind his lies. Indeed, Satan and his angels believe it. They believe it far better than all humans believe it. Amazingly, the evil ones know God's word, and the evil angels tremble for what is written in it. We can read that. Satan knows that the entire word of God is written by the Holy Spirit, that every word of the 750,000 words the Holy Spirit wrote and inspired is true. Satan knows he has to develop a new strategy for these generations, which the world has not seen before this generation. He assaults God's word by introducing human doubt and questionings into God's word in many ways. How successfully he has done this with Eve in Eden, by getting her to entertain and act upon the doubts he presented, and then openly casting evil upon God himself. Now, to do this, he used the natural sinful will of humans. For the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The primary way Satan attempts this is to attack the Holy Spirit's work as the primary author of all of Scripture. The Holy Spirit has inspired 41 male human authors as secondary authors to write the various 66 books of the Bible. Thus the key, thus the Bible is first and foremost the inspired Word of God. He wrote it as the primary author, but God uses human authors to write all 66 books whom he has infallibly inspired these secondary authors to write down exactly what he gave them to say. It is this fact, it is this foundation that is the door of error which Satan attempts to deny today in his assault against God's word. Once anyone varies in the slightest degree from this foundational scriptural fact, sadly, that person is not an authentic Christian, but a chino, a Christian in name only. And worse, Scripture says an antichrist, not my words, but Scripture's words, and a willing slave of God's arch enemy, Satan. Yes, any time a Christian is not in God's word 100%, he or she is outside of the word and salvation 100%. Now, any time someone tries to say or to convince you that Paul says something different or is more inspired than John or David, such a person needs to repent immediately. Every other error involving God's word and of its interpretation flows from this foundational error of somehow denying that the Holy Spirit inspired and wrote every single word of the Bible. Satan knows this fact very well, and he and his angels tremble, as we said, at the foundation of God's word. Yet knowing that they themselves can never be saved, they work day and night, going about as a roaring lion to hide this reality and to bring sinners into hell with them. That is his goal. He uses every tool to deceive men to enter hell with him. Oh, awful words. He knows that he has man's natural, desperately wicked human heart on his side already because of man's deep fall and total depravity. It already predisposes all humans to obey him in his many sinful suggestions. Satan's only available tool is not to do anything but to lie, obstruct, confuse, distort, and manipulate the word. And how in this wicked and perverse generation he has succeeded in the wildest imagination. Should not surprise us. This is his specialty. Satan has many doctorates in lying, for he is the father of lies. And by these lies, he deceives even many Christians by promoting and saying the lie that each of the 40-some human authors God inspired to write the Bible had authoritative value from themselves, or that these human authors somehow had more authority, more knowledge, more godliness, more authenticity than what the primary author of the Bible, God the Holy Spirit, had himself. so blatantly they contradict Scripture and the author of Scripture. While he was lying, he cannot help himself into branching into many more lies, a mushroom of lies, a maze of lies which we see prevalent today. He promoted the lie that some of these human authors appeared to puny finite minds to contradict each other. Then some human authors, he says, have more authenticity, more believability than others. This is nonsense. God's word is one synthetic whole, written by one author, God, every single word. Thus, higher criticism was birthed by Satan and is especially used by counterfeit theologians today to hide God's word from the people with its many divisions and endless maze of errors. All of these components of error come out of the mouth of evil, the mouth of hell, and they are designed to subtract from the truth, not add to it, though they may sound so cunningly true. The lie of higher criticism is subdivided into many other divisions. The dictionary lists source criticism, redacted criticism, textual criticism, form criticism, so many criticisms, but they are all designed at their base to attack God's word from a different angle, a different direction, from a lie. Now, tragically, instead of rejecting these distortions, effusions, twistings, manipulations, and these blatant lies against plain and open Scripture, false prophets, cunningly disguised as angels of light, willingly embrace these false doctrines, and they are daily used by many counterfeit Christians and churches today to usher in even greater errors into the church. Here is the great chasm that has come between Reformation Christianity and doctrine and today's Christian doctrine. Obviously, we know that God's word will stand supreme, and every knee will bow before him. For we are the clay, he is the potter, and he will do with us whatever he wills. In our day, our foolish thoughts or stated opinions that God should have done something this way, or that way, or another way, all is utterly irrelevant to God, for God's will be done. Tragically, fallen humans and our desperately wicked hearts spend so much time today rebelling against God and his ways, instead of repenting and striving to obey him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Our human heart by nature is so desperately wicked. Who can know its depths? But we see it revealed more and more today. And therefore, God has sent judgment upon the world in the form of COVID-19. Let us hear his voice and let us repent today. Now Satan knows that once one leaves the path of error and branches off into other paths, the maze of error, then the curtain of satanic blindness follows immediately behind us, all the way across the huge maze and network of lies. That blindness, it is almost impossible to find your way back out of it, to get back to the pathway of truth. It is hypercritical, then, that we never leave the path of truth in the first place. Fully trusting in God's word is one of the most fundamental tools God has ever given humans to stay on the path of the truth. How easy it is to wander off into error. Let us look at the seven churches of Asia of Revelations. These churches were founded and taught by the Apostle Paul. They were further under 30 years of the preaching of the Apostle John. However, within 40 short years, Satan, cunningly disguised as an angel of light, has managed to instill himself as their leader in five of these seven churches of Revelations. How shall we stand when we have so perverted the reformational doctrines and the doctrines of our godly forefathers? For God, Jesus' sharp word of correction tells us that five of those seven churches that had fallen from the word and from the truth had perverted scripture. They were following the lie and the way of Satan, not God's sovereign grace doctrine. What a warning this reality is to all Christians, to all churches today, that these revelations, churches, who were so clearly taught by the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, yet had been so easily deceived and had so easily wandered off from the path of truth. And they are dangerously trapped in the maze of error. Yes, how Jesus' warnings should alarm us today, where he says to all Christendom in the Bible, try the spirits against God's word. Beware of false prophets. Separate from those who preach and believe another gospel than what is in Scripture. Even if an angel were to come down from heaven to preach it, one bad apple ruins the whole bushel, Paul says. None of our godly forefathers for 6,000 years knew of or accepted any assault against God's word in the form of higher criticism, for they soundly and rightly rejected anything of it, as it is all an invention of man. Can you imagine how Luther and all of our godly church fathers would laugh at us and at an extremely high percentage of Christendom laugh to shame today? How many of them would thunder condemnation on us to doubt anything of God's word? How much more then is God laughing and mocking us to derision? He whose eye closely watches every person and everything upon the earth, he knows our hearts and all the secrets within. Let us look at a further maze of the great errors which have developed by Satan and followed so closely by his counterfeit servants. Yes, how the bottom of hell is paved with false ministers, counterfeit prophets, so many of them today. The Lord Jesus warns us of false prophets within Christendom by saying, "Broad is the way to destruction, and many," hear that, "many there be upon it. But narrow is the way to salvation, and few," hear that, "few there be that are on it." What a solemn announcement that should send terror into our souls. My hearers, which path are you on? The broad way or the narrow way? One of the easiest of the many ways you can know if you are on the broad way to destruction is to reject in any way, at any time, even one jot or one tittle of one word of the Bible. By doing such an atrocity, you need not assume you are on the way to heaven, that somehow you are on the narrow way that leads to life. No, 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 but rather you are on the broad way to destruction, daily sealing your fate to enter hell, and that forever and forever. Oh, solemn word for our generation who assaults God's word. Oh, I beg you with all the love of my heart to turn from such utter destruction today of the assaulting of God's word. For God's word, which cannot lie, tells us that outside of Jesus Christ, God is a consuming fire. Now, no one can be so foolish that you would somehow think you will escape God's wrath when you clutch your bosom sin of not believing in every word of his word. Such thinking would be folly beyond folly. God will not be mocked. But every one of our sins are written in God's book of remembrance. What could be more dangerous than openly sinning and assaulting God's word, which we see done so much today with doctrines that are 180 degrees different than Scripture? Such a sin is far more dangerous than taking a hammer and banging violently on the trigger switch of a nuclear bomb. Just as Satan so successfully whispered doubt into Eve's mind, saying, "Did God really say that?" Another weapon of Satan is to question whether this or that book belongs in the Bible. Because Genesis contains all the foundational doctrines of the Bible, Satan has taken great hammer blows to the book of Genesis in our day. He tries to cast doubt that the book of Genesis is to be in the Bible, that it is literal. Oh, foolishness! But he is the father of lies, and he relentlessly casts doubt whether Adam and Eve were real human beings. He disparages the concept of the Garden of Eden and sin. He casts doubt that the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. He casts doubt that Adam could have named all of the animals. He scoffed that Eve was taken from Adam's rib. Yes, because the book of Genesis so condemns him, He works overtime today to deny its authenticity and its accuracy. Yes, he knows anyone who rejects just one word from the Bible is hopelessly lost. But if they reject a whole chapter from the Bible, it is even better. How much worse than to reject the whole book of the Bible? Nevertheless, sadly, this error and lie is held within a very high percentage of churches, Christian churches of our day. The lie that the book of Genesis is false, is strong, and is held by an extremely high percentage of Christendom and in Christian churches today. Woe is us to believe and to assault God's word so profoundly. Another error that Satan has promoted is that the Old Testament is somehow different from the New Testament, that they aren't the word of God. This is blatantly denying the immutability of God. Nothing is as certain as that God does not change, and that he is the same God who wrote both the New and the Old Testament. The exact same God wrote Genesis, who wrote Revelations. The exact same God sent the first flood, which destroyed the first world, as the God who sent Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, to be born in Bethlehem. The exact same triune God walked in Sodom to condemn homosexuality 31 times in Scripture and to rescue Lot. The same God who sent the COVID-19 pandemic today. The belief that has come into this wicked and perverse generation, even among such an exceedingly high percentage of Christendom leaders and Christendom churches, the lie that somehow the God of the Old Testament is somehow different from the God of the New Testament, comes out of the mouth of hell. How Satan laughs at how successfully he has so deceived so many, not only of the human race, but of Christendom and Christian churches, reformational churches who claim to be descendants of the Reformation and of our godly forefathers, with this incredible error against God's immutability. Now, another dominant error against God's word of this wicked and perverse generation is one that Satan convinces many Christians of, that science is above God. True Christians know that God created science simply as tools, laws, and principles by which he uses under his direct hand and authority, by which he guides and operates all things according to his will. From countless surveys today, we can look with horror upon what a high percentage of Christendom Satan has convinced of this nonsense, that science is above God, that God has to bow to science, and that the Almighty Yahweh is somehow subject to and controlled by science's principles and laws. How upside down we have turned God's word today, and imagine the power of science. Oh, foolish humanity, foolish Christendom of today. Now, evolution is another error of Satan against the Word of God. This error comes from we as humans have such a small view of an infinitely huge God. He is otherness. He tells us in His Word that He spoke, and it was, that from nothing He spoke, and instantly it was, during each of the 6 days of creation. Yes, we must hold to the truth that all of God's creation, all of His work is an instantaneous work. We know there are 86,400 seconds in each 24-hour day. But God's creative work at the macro level took but a split second of that time. And then God used time at the micro level to further refine what He created. But creation is instantaneous. Until 150 years ago, none of our godly forefathers would have dared to imagine the nonsense that it wasn't instantaneous, that there was a big bang some 13.8 billion years ago coming from a single unexplained sound. Oh, foolish Christendom of today, believing in evolution, God is hyper-exceedingly angry. That is why we see the judgment of COVID-19 also coming upon us and all of Christendom today. Satan rejoices. Satan would have Christians believe that everything in the universe somehow come from that single cell that exploded into of the universe. What nonsense. Luther and all of our godly forefathers would faint in horror that such a horrific lie would be believed by one person, for one Christian, much less by the extremely high percentage of Christians within Christian churches led by Christian leaders, which have descended from the Reformation. How can this be that churches today embrace evolution? How Luther and our forefathers would thunder judgment upon such a fundamental error of God's Word, for He says, in the twinkling of an eye, I shall create a new heaven and a new earth. If God does that in a twinkling of an eye, in 1/70th of a second, that same immutable God created the earth, and it didn't take 13.8 billion years, but it is instantaneous work of God. How much more we should fight this error of evolution, which has mushroomed within Christendom in this wicked and perverse generation. Now, we can't list them all, but readability is another subtle error which Satan has promoted in our day to subtract and to assault God's Word. He has so cunningly convinced and successfully promoted this seemingly noble concept because he cannot stop the Word from going around the world. He has instead deluded and obscured and confused the world with many faulty translations. Over 50 translations of God's Word have come into being in this wicked and perverse generation, often translated by unregenerate men under the cunning disguise of making the Word more readable. How that word readable has perverted God's Word, for we must aspire to increase to God's Word, not to descend into a guttural interpretation of His Word. I seen the other day a Bible called the Dude's Bible for the Homeless that used simple 2 and 3 words per page as somehow being a translation of God's Word. Subtly, all of these translations, from the top to the bottom, are promoted as somehow helping Christians understand God's Word better by making it more readable. The bitter reality is that under that guise of readability, major and minor changes have been made in God's Word that seriously deludes the real meaning and the real efficacy and the real power of God's Word. Most of these are a direct assault against God's Word. Now, time does not permit us to identify all and the many other ways Satan has deceive the churches and Christian leaders of our generation as they have assaulted and distorted God's Word in so many diverse ways. Sufficient to say, when we look around and contrast the Word today, the doctrine today, with the Word and the doctrine even 50, 100 years ago, what a vast, vast chasm has come between the two, which we can see. Oh, I cannot imagine Luther and all of our godly forefathers would so thunder condemnation upon us today. How can we have so perverted God's Word? How much more fearful is the fact that these men are not alive, but God is alive, is watching, and is thundering condemnation upon you and me today, calling to us, repent, repent, repent. And if we do not hear the judgment of COVID-19, which has brought the whole world to a standstill, and then truly our ears are stopped, our hearts are deceived, and we must repent immediately. Now, what we have listed above is just some of how God assaults God's Word within the church. It is His goal. He has also done much outside of the church with the heathens. Satan has created over 2,000 false religions around the world, which have claimed huge sections of the world's population to himself. Satan has even tried to make scriptures for these false religions that he intends to somehow duplicate God's Word. He has generated men who have written books such as the Quran, the Vedas, the Tripitaka, the Kojiki, and so forth. All of these heathen scriptures are the same. They place heavy burdens of work righteousness upon mankind, idols without a Savior, without grace. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, God tells us something far, far different. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else, none. Satan is the force behind the great movement today in our generation that tries to claim and convince all that all religions are really the same. They are all just from one God, and that all the religions really just worship the same God in a different way, from a different book. Oh, horror of horrors, this is not only nonsense, but it violates God's word so profoundly. Sadly, it is also within Christendom, dominant within Christendom, churches today and church leaders to believe that all religions are the same. Sadly, it's been over 25 years ago that a leading Christian leader in our America have foolishly and openly agreed that anything can be a Christ, whatever they worship, whether it's an idol, a stone, a mountain, a tree, and so forth. Sadly, tragically, nothing is being done about this great apostasy which has grown and mushroomed within Christianity today. If you belong to a church that repeats this nonsense, that all religions have the same God, I beg you with all the love of my heart, leave that church, repent, and return to reformational scripture. Return to our forefathers and what the Holy Spirit has taught us. For in scripture, the Apostle John tells us this type foolishness is not only error, but it is antichrist. It cannot be more evil to believe that all religions worship the same God. What an incredible assault against God's word. Others, such as the Mormons, have added a whole other book to the Bible. The Jehovah Witnesses refuse to see God's divinity in Scripture. The Pope has recently said, incredibly, that even atheists will go to heaven. All of this nonsense contradicts the plain word of God. Despite having listed all these ways of God's, that God's word is distorted, we cannot touch them all. But obviously the greatest assault against God's word and the abuse of God's word is when Christian individuals neglect his word. This horrendous abuse is done when Christians simply do not read God's word, when they have a Bible available and have the time to read it and do it, and simply choose not to. When our life is not in his word, we obviously rather have a life in the world. And tragically, I must tell you, we will perish with the world. Not reading what God's word, not using God's word as Christians. This is the greatest neglect of his word and the greatest assault against his word, especially viewing the surveys among the millennials, they demonstrate this neglect. Oh, may it never be said of us, God's word is precious to him, and he has sworn on the highest authority, sworn on himself, that not one word, not one tittle shall fail from his word. He has further given us that solemn warning in the closing verses of the Bible. Oh, listen to it and tremble from Revelations 22, verse 19. If any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That God condemns any human interpretation, any higher criticism, any imagination that we have a better doctrine than that of the Reformation. Let us reject with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength this apostasy and assault against God's word. We are living in a time when God has brought the whole world to a standstill with his judgment of COVID-19 pandemic. He is speaking very loudly to you and to me today to turn from our wicked ways and from our sins and distortions against his word. Yes, he is thundering to us today, repent, repent, repent. His word has gone out throughout all the world, and he has sworn upon his word that his word will not return to him void. It shall either convert us, regenerate us, or it will further harden and condemn us. He is still extending your time and my time on earth for a purpose. His long-suffering continues to this very minute, but we know not for how long. We know he is hyper-exceedingly angry against our sins. And we know from history that God has destroyed his own church 31 times, leaving only a remnant. Do not say God will never destroy his church, my church. Certainly it is true that he will never destroy his church. But that does not mean your church, your name, your denomination, or your group that openly sins against God's word. You most certainly will be destroyed by God. We cannot take comfort in perverting God's word. And thus we may more fear that Christendom has fallen so deeply in an assault against his word that we as Christendom are today in the 32nd time that God is destroying his church. Oh, he says to sinners today, today when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. It is still the day of grace, still the time of salvation. The market of free grace is still open, where he is calling to lost, hopeless, hell-worthy sinners who know themselves as such to you and to me. Oh, everyone who thirsteth, come and buy without money and without price. But what a judgment we shall receive if we neglect so great a salvation. He has sent his Son to die for lost, hopeless, missing, grieving sinners. And he is speaking loudly to every such hell-worthy sinner today, to individuals, to the family, to the church, to the seminaries, to the denominations, to the city, the state, the nation, and yes, to the whole world. Turn, turn, turn. Why will ye die? COVID-19 pandemic stands as a testimony of his hyper exceeding angry. He is angry at our sins, but he still stands with outstretched arms, speaking with his precious promise to his sinful people. Hear this word. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. From 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. O come then, let us fall before the Lord our God, our Creator. Let us repent from our reformational sins and hear and heed his word today. Let us examine the scriptures as the Bereans and see how the reformational doctrines of 500 years ago differ so radically from the doctrines of an extremely high percentage of Christendom today. It is frightening departure from God's word. I beg us.